Dr. Mitch, welcome back.
Great to be on the show.
You know, there's a kind of a running trend that we've seen in a lot of these reports about marijuana, its health effects. And one of the things we see coming back time and time again is relating the use of cannabis by adolescents to bouts of schizophrenia or any sort of mental disorder along those lines. This latest report that we've gotten here comes from the University of Nottingham. And I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about that study and what it says about cannabis use in adolescents.
This is a really intriguing paper that's out in schizophrenia research, and the bottom line on this is we're showing a subset of teens who have elevated scores on a schizotypal personality questionnaire if they're the ones who also happen to use cannabis heavily early in life. We've talked about this quite a bit before, but I just want to remind listeners of a couple of key facts here. The schizotypal personality questionnaire that they use as their dependent measure is something that I've shown in the past is biased against cannabis users in the first place. Some of the items could be misinterpreted by cannabis users as just using slang about cannabis, and unfortunately, some of these researchers think that this has something to do with some kind of psychotic symptom, making up your own words, or that kind of thing. The take-home message on that is just, even under those circumstances, even if the questionnaire isn't biased, we're still just looking at answers on a questionnaire. These aren't folks who ended up hospitalized for schizophrenia. We're not saying they even have a psychotic disorder. They're just a little bit deviant. And, I mean, what cannabis user wouldn't like to take on that identity a little bit? The take-home message, again, is we don't have uniform links between cannabis use early in life and this mild schizotypal personality questionnaire score. It's just a subset of folks who happen to have psychotics in their family who also seem to use cannabis heavily and get elevated scores on this questionnaire. So what started out as this giant overblown, oh, marijuana turns into schizophrenia, as we're refining the data more and more, we're discovering, in fact, folks who have psychotics in the family and who choose to use cannabis heavily early in life are a little bit weird.
Okay. And that itself hasn't been shown to go on to lead to the development of schizophrenia or any of these disorders in that way, just that this they've answered on this particular survey that they might get that way. Is that a good way to put it?
Exactly. And then the other thing I want to throw out is just nobody was randomly assigned to smoke pot here. For all we know, these were folks who turned to cannabis, in a sense, as a result of some of these deviant psychological experiences, if you will, and seemed to like it and chose to use it heavily, perhaps as a result of some of these earlier symptoms. The other thing that I've brought up in the past, and I know you interviewed my student Nicholas Von Damme on this topic as well, is just the use of hard drugs, in particular the stimulants. And they did their very best in trying to control for the use of alternative drugs to narrow down and see, is cannabis really the source on this? But I do want to caution folks that the biases inherent in fessing up to using cannabis are rather different from the biases inherent in fessing up to using hard drugs, particularly stimulants like methamphetamine and cocaine. So you can imagine a setting where you're perfectly comfortable saying you use cannabis, but not exactly, shall we say, willing to fess up to using cocaine or meth. I'm concerned with any kind of self-report measure like this that may be part of the issue. So although it doesn't look like the hard drugs are playing a big role in the psychotic symptoms in these folks, that may still be sort of haunting there, and particularly in light of data from my lab, I feel like that use of hard drugs is essentially still an important factor to keep in mind. We don't have randomly assigned folks, and in truth, what's getting labeled psychotic here is really nothing more than perhaps somebody who's a little bit creative and a little bit odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would account for a large proportion of the cannabis users out there, I would think. I wonder why, and I don't know if you can even answer this, but I wonder why they continue to try to make this link or try to find this link between the use of cannabis use in adolescence and these schizophrenic or schizotypal type reactions, rather than just, you know, looking at the history. I mean, I guess maybe this is just a common sense thing from a guy who doesn't know much about the science or statistics of it, but I would think that if there was a huge problem with cannabis use association with schizophrenia, we would have seen an increase in schizophrenia as cannabis use has increased.
Well, and that's a splendid way of looking at these data. And when you look at different nations, particularly areas with different policies, we find the rate of schizophrenia is just under 1% in countries as diverse as the Netherlands and, you know, Asian countries where, you know, if you get caught with a joint, you get beaten with a stick, you know. So clearly we're not seeing the impact of policy on these mental health things. I'm not at all criticizing these researchers. I feel like this is an intriguing question. Some of the links between cannabis and various aspects of mental functioning are intriguing, and it's neat to think that the cannabinoids are involved. But as we're getting these studies to come out more and more, it's presented to us like, oh, this is a growing case, when in fact, as it's getting more and more refined, we're discovering the impact is actually pretty minor. When you look at when cannabis use started to go up in the late 60s, early 70s, mid-70s, we don't see any increase in rates of schizophrenia. In areas in Australia, some that have you get a traffic ticket if you're busted, and others that have hard penalties for cannabis possession, we don't see different rates of schizophrenia. What people are looking for now is it maybe this earlier onset situation? Are these folks more likely to have their first psychotic break earlier in life? Other studies seem to be coming out in support of that. But as you know, Russ, the underlying meta message is often, so we need to keep cannabis illegal. Mm-hmm. The FBI crime reports are out today, and we're discovering that, in fact, you know, arrest rates are higher than ever, and this has had no impact on age of onset of use, on rates of use, on the number of people who've chosen to use cannabis, on the number of people who develop cannabis-related problems. So clearly this, you know, arrest and toss away the key and let's throw them in jail approach isn't really helping, even if there were a link between cannabis and some kind of mental disorder. And now, as this research is getting more and more refined, we're discovering if there is such a link, it's only for a small subset of folks who use cannabis early in life, and we're not really sure if that choice to use cannabis early in life was a product of the mental deviance or an actual creator of it.
Yeah, that was something I was thinking of too, is that even if we were to take these allegations at face value, this idea that somehow cannabis is going to cause problems for certain adolescents psychologically, you know, we're talking about a very small subset, like you say, less than 1% of the people that display schizophrenia. We're talking about an even smaller, you know, taking that and making it a smaller subset when we talk about the few number of young adolescents that actually end up using cannabis with any regularity. So it really seems like they're making a mountain out of a molehill with this.
Well, I feel like, supporting the idea that cannabis is only for adults is something I can really get behind. We do have data on deviant brain development, on decreases in IQ and stuff, and folks who are heavy users early in life, but only in heavy users early in life. And I like the idea of this is something that we want to have for adults and adults only. But I'm really worried when, you know, people are going to take this, go into high schools and say, hey, don't smoke pot or you're going to be schizophrenic, mm-hmm. when they've got, you know, older siblings, cousins, friends who have been using cannabis without any negative consequences, and then they're not going to believe us when we, you know, say the things that really do matter about the hard drugs.
Yeah, and like you had mentioned about the underlying theme here being that that's why we need to keep cannabis illegal, it kind of seems to me that's the same kind of logic that you'd say we can no longer have Snickers bars because there's a small subset of the population that's allergic to peanuts. I mean, we don't make things illegal just because a tiny, tiny population of them have a problem with it.
Exactly.
Well, we'll keep an eye on all of this schizophrenia and psychological research with respect to cannabis. We can re-emphasize our number one message, I would suppose, which is that adolescents shouldn't be using marijuana, period, whether these facts turn out to be true or not. But, you know, because of all of the data that you've already collected, like you said, on the IQ scores and brain development. So kids, stay away. Wait till you're an adult. That's the time to use it.
I just want to add that I'll be elaborating on a number of these themes at the Normal Conference this year, and do hope that as many listeners as possible can make it out there. We're really going to have a blast, and it's really going to be an informative time.
That's right. Normal Conference is October, third weekend of October. Check out the website at normal.org to pre-register, and we'll see you there, we hope. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us again here on our Cannabis Science Day.
Always a pleasure.